Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com. Time now for the take.
Yeah. Give me another nickname, Grossman.
Hash. Dank.
The Take
with Ethan Moore.
Under Dr. Bendy Nilipudi. Bendipudi. Gosh, see, yep. I was so focused on just nailing her name correctly, and I butchered it.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
Oh, man, what's the name of that freaking Muppet?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Accountability, toughness, and love, that's who we are. That's our three pillars of our program, and it's branded by the phrase, love each other, which we all know as LEO.
Welcome into a Friday edition of The Take.
What an intro.
I mean, Jack.
Tom Allen Day, baby.
Firing on all cylinders. You got the IU reference in there.
Oh, he had to finish with Indiana football Jesus back there.
Oh, I mean, he didn't speak at media day. I mean, he had to put something in there.
He's back there just pumping his arms, getting real excited about it. And I don't know if I'd ever heard your Bendy meal. Drop.
Dude, I thought about not butchering it like Blank did prior to that. And while I was saying it, it's like, I can't do what Blank did. I can't do what Blank did. And I freaking just, I mean, off the rails.
Just
I mean,
nosedived. Like, you took what Blank did and did so much worse. It was amazing.
Yes.
Bendy?
Oh, it was bad. I think I combined like four of her names, all the same. Jack, can you run that again?
I just want to hear it one more time.
Mr. Four Hot Dogs. That was bad. But
time now for The Take.
Give me another nickname, Grossman.
Hash. Dank.
The Take
with Ethan Moore.
Under Dr. Bendy Nilipudi. Bendipudi. Gosh, see, I was so focused on just nailing her name correctly, and I butchered it.
See, that was a
Biggest
quick
Biscuit, also
known as Dave Skull.
What did I? Mindy?
Bendy!
What's up, Dr. Bendy?
Oh, man.
Dr. Neely Pendabooty.
What's worse?
Yours is worse.
Yes.
I feel like, and I don't know, maybe this is recency bias because I'd never heard yours before, and I've heard Mark's a million times, but there's something just so wrong about the way
that was bad.
Where you went.
Oh, goodness.
God love her. I mean, she's, you know, she's just.
Neely Bendipudi. Say
thank
that 10
you.
Times fast.
There so you are. Go.
And, you know, Dr. Bendipudi is.
That one was just from last week.
I know it was. Like, how depend a booty? Like, what?
I'm and, you know, Dr. Dabindapooty is.
What is that?
Dabindapooty. All right, now, Biscuit, why don't you
I don't know if I can recover.
Throw all three together.
No, I don't. What is that? I mean, I don't even. Like, I don't ever want to.
Bendy?
I don't want to. I don't. Bendy, depend a. I don't want to mispronounce her name on purpose, because then it'll be in my mind.
See, that's what happened when I went.
Right.
It's my fault. I butchered it nonetheless. But I was thinking about, listen, I can't do what Blank did.
No.
And then I did it's under Dr. Bendy Nilipudi.
Bendy. What is that?
Bendy, I switched the B and the N.
Oh, you did a lot. You did more than you switched entire syllables. You did.
Neely Bendapudi.
Thank you.
Under Dr. Bendy Nilipudi.
With that, like, it's incredible. That's now fantastic. we're talking. Now we're doing Friday radio. I love it.
All right, so you want to get this text because it's already aimed at Mr. Four over here.
Oh, right. See, because we don't have. Look, we addressed Jack Grossman. Actually, he's been demoted back to intern cream.
Hello, ladies.
We addressed.
I can cut your mouth or mic off at any time.
Just look. If you want to start throwing your weight around like that, I mean, if you don't want to face.
No, no, I do. I'm just joking. I absolutely do. I failed on Wednesday. That's what happened.
We addressed your failures yesterday at the, just your absolute failure at eating large quantities of tubed meat.
Yes.
You failed. It was a swing and a miss.
What was your slogan yesterday? Death by tubed
meat.
Death
by tubed meat, yeah. Which is what would happen if I tried this these days.
So here's what happened.
We will give you the floor. I don't know for how long, because I don't know how long I can stand this avalanche of excuses that is about to happen. But I will promise to give you at least some rope here.
All righty.
Text machine's already firing off. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Number one, it was five, not four. Number two, it doesn't matter, is it was an absolute failure either way.
Okay.
And
yes. Well, I'm glad you clarified.
Yes.
That.
Yeah, no. It is disappointing. It is saddening. And I have failed. That's what it is. It was a failure. So,
Jack, give me a play-by-play. Tell me why you failed. Because you said you had a reason.
Yes.
You had a...
Were you too relaxed?
A strategic misfire.
It was a strategic error. So my strategy was, you know, was to kind of do what the professional people do, which
eat a lot of hot dogs.
Yes, obviously. But it was to take, and this is all going to be marked for the mixtape. It was to take the meat out of the bun, split the meat in half, and shove the meat in my mouth, then split the bun in half, and then shove the bun in my mouth. And then,
were you dipping the bun?
That was the issue. I didn't.
What
I was
the first
I
step
was,
again? What were you going to do?
Take the meat, split it in half, and shove it in my mouth. That's, so I mean, that's, when it starts,
yikes.
I take the first
this
dog.
Man's got a future.
Yeah, no.
Does he?
I take the first dog.
In something.
And I shove it in my mouth, the meat. Again, all this is going to be big.
There's
so
just
great
no way to talk about this.
No, there's not.
The entire conversation is one long innuendo. Just go with it.
But I get it in like 8-9 seconds. Like, okay. Like it is down. I'm feeling Graham like... Perfect. I'm going to crush this thing. Then I put the bun in the mouth.
Did you dip it?
I did not dip it. I was reluctant to dip it, and that's what screwed me over the rest of the time.
Now, we had a source that told us you were eating
a loaf of bread.
Copious amounts of bread prior to
you
this
ate,
competition
you
for
ate,
lunch.
Like, they said you I ate had, an 18-inch loaf of bread
that
from
is
Jimmy
not
John's.
True. I had maybe four bites of bread from Jimmy John's. Nick tried to get me to eat an entire loaf of bread.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why? Why was that the food that you chose to eat?
It's like the worst
I didn't
possible
choose.
Pre-meal.
You didn't choose? Somebody Uh-oh. Shoved it in your yeah. mouth?
Somebody's behind you. I think he's going to have
I'm
a rebuttal.
I'm not blaming Nick.
I didn't. No, stop. Stop. No. I told him,
where's
Jack, I love you, buddy. I'm a seasoned veteran at this. You can't go in with an empty stomach. And Jackie boy here was trying to fast the entire time. How'd that work for you? Yeah. So I told him, you got to get a little bread in your stomach. Just a little bit of bread. No, because I hear in the back, Nick tried to get me to eat a whole loaf of bread. No. I said, have a piece. I literally broke bread with you. No, but you have this idea that I was chasing you around trying to shove a loaf of bread down your gullet. No, I said, hey, take a piece. Break bread with me. Literally, that's what we did. We literally broke bread.
Jeez. So anyways.
Nice trash can attack, though, Nick. Oh, we slammed the door on the way
yeah,
out.
I know. Yeah. So anyways, I'm doing great. But then I stick the bun in my mouth without dipping it. And that was the fatal mistake. Because I tried to wash.
Can't be eating those dry buns.
Yeah,
why didn't you just do it all
can't
at
be
once?
Eating those straight dry buns.
Well, I tried to wash the bun down with water. And instead of it, you know, going down my throat like it was supposed to, it got stuck in like my cheeks.
Like a gerbil.
Yes. So I looked like a gerbil.
Jack was the biggest gerbil in the world.
For the last 4 minutes and 45 seconds of the contest.
So when did you know that this was not going to be
in
the car?
About 20 seconds in, I knew I was screwed.
All right, so this was the entire range of emotions, all right?
Yeah.
There was trepidation, maybe a little nerves beforehand.
Sure. No, I was excited.
All right, excitement and a little nerves, though, probably. Yeah. 9 seconds in, you're on top of the world because you've downed one hot dog. 20 seconds in, despair.
You know, because you
tried to shove dry buns in your mouth.
Yeah,
and
can't you dump the whole thing in the? Can't you dump it in the water?
So for the rest of the hot dogs, that's what I did. Because I didn't think I would like the taste of dumping it in the water.
Water has no taste. It's about the texture. Water too spicy? Like, what is
it? No, I thought it would be gross to put the wet bun in my mouth.
Like, that's probably, that's fair. Yeah. It's gross, but taste.
All right.
No, what's gross is eating several hot dogs within 5 minutes.
Hot dogs taste good.
I don't know about a competitive eating standpoint.
But so anyways... Once the bun got kind of lodged in my cheeks, I knew I was screwed. So I started dipping the buns in the water, which were helping, but I could never clear out what was already in my cheeks from the original bun.
Could you just drink a little water if you wanted to?
I tried.
You had the inability to get the carbs, the mushed up bread in your cheeks, down your throat?
I did not have the time necessary to do that.
I feel like if you had dedicated 15 seconds of your life to
I wasn't going to try to do that in a 5 minute contest though. That's
so you would rather
defeat.
Just fail.
Well, no, I at that point,
Jack,
I was going to fail either way, Biscuit.
Jack,
I was going to fail either way.
You had you and Nikki just had a casual meal in front of like thousands of people. That's what you did. You didn't competitively eat. You just had a nice meal.
So the last 4.5, 4:40 of the contest, I was working with about 40% capacity in my mouth.
I can't with this.
I have a feeling
the text line is just crushing.
And they should be. I was a miserable failure. That being said, I did have an absolute blast participating.
Do you think they're going to invite you back next year?
I don't know. If they do, I would have to decide. I feel like I would have to redeem myself.
I think you need to.
I don't know. Because I was always like, I'll just do it once and then I'll have my fun with it. But it was such an embarrassing performance.
I feel like I could casually eat 7 dogs in 5 minutes without even... Especially at a peak young age. I mean, I could have eaten 12 dogs and won that competition at your age. No problem. And I realize it's easy to just say that.
Yeah, I did learn it's a lot easier just to say things. Let me preface that with saying...
I usually give people hell for just saying things when they're not going to do it themselves. Like, I gave Process a hard time yesterday because he's like, I can do that, bro. You know, like, dude, Process, you're the king of that. You know, you're the king of making fun of people that are doing things and failing when you're not doing it yourself.
To be fair, I legitimately tried and failed.
But when I can confidently say, the number's so low, you know, like 5, Nikki had 6, the number's so low that I can confidently say that it was 7 dogs would be no problem. I think Ethan could do it. Ethan... was talking about he crushes 4 conies, cheese conies, when he goes to Skyline.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I could nail it in 5 minutes or whatever, but I could certainly, I mean...
You have the capacity.
Yes.
And it's like 5 minutes is not long enough for you to get full if you're eating quickly.
I'm a little disappointed as well.
Yeah.
Because I took it upon myself to be Jack's hype man on social media.
Yeah, that hurts. And, you know, that hurts.
And he finished last.
Well, was there anybody that finished behind you, Jack?
Chernoff and I tied. Mm. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
And then I heard Nikki started flinging hot dogs in the crowd.
Oh, I did that too. We all did,
Jack.
That was.
Did you peg a senior citizen too, or was that just Nikki?
No, I didn't know Nick did that.
Oh, goodness.
No, of course Nick did that.
The text line is rolling in if you want to get at us there. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line.
We got
line.
A lot of texts.
Do you want to roll through some of those, Jack?
Let's see. Jack is worried about something being gross, but his name literally has gross in it. Live up to your damn name. Yeah, no one's ever made that joke before. Jack, why didn't you see Ethan beforehand for some hunger inspiration? Texter says, yeah.
Sorry, give me a second on that one. Like, ah!
Send the
there's multiple Ethan.
Send the segment in for your Marconi nomination. Texter says,
yes.
Bendy Dependa Booty.
Yeah, that was a nice hodgepodge of
that
the
was good.
Texter says, Jack's 40% capacity is still 100 times greater than most people's. Apparently not, because I struggled at 40% capacity. And yes, I'll mark that too. Burn the show and just play Dockage live.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, in response to me trying to explain what happened in the hot dog eating contest.
Well, we had to get that out of the way because we would have done that yesterday.
Yeah, we would have done that yesterday, but Jack he was a coward.
He was ashamed. He didn't even want to show his face.
What did you do yesterday instead of coming here?
I slept for like 14 hours. That is what I did.
Coward.
I caught up on sleep. That was my day yesterday.
I mean, were you sleeping? Apparently, you were sleeping during the hot dog eating contest. You only had four.
Right.
Yeah, five.
Is it really? Like, is it?
It is actually five.
Is it worth it to you to make that correction every time?
Yes.
Okay.
I will say that, but then I will also say in the same breath, it doesn't change at all how I feel about it.
At least, apparently it changes a little bit.
No, it doesn't.
Well, because it changes enough for you to say it every time.
Well, no, it's just a fact.
All right.
So we got that out of the way.
I'm sorry for failing massively.
Jack, I'm just as disappointed with you now as I was before your explanation.
No one is more disappointed in my performance than me. No one is happier with my performance than my dad, who was so mad that I was doing that.
By the way, I've had multiple people texted that Nikki V's Creed impression is their favorite thing. Like, Ince and Pointer. Like, multiple people have been like, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, he nailed it, but then he slammed the door on the way out.
Like, his impression's ridiculous. Yeah. And Nikki tried to make me eat a loaf of bread.
Nick took the Jimmy John's loaf and put it on my desk or in here in the producer's room four different times.
You're eating like pigeons.
Yeah.
Like, well, I had some bird seed and and a loaf of bread from Jimmy John's. God.
I tell you what. Man. Good afternoon to everyone except
start the show.
Ethan. What's up with that?
That's no fun.
Oh, that's all right. Well, you know what?
Shout out to the text line.
Yeah, there we go.
Ethan's just so disappointed with that one.
I tell you.
Such a personal shot.
I know.
Everybody, I hope you're having a great day, except for you.
I'm out of here.
I'm going to
go finish last in a hot dog eating contest.
It says, apparently swallowing wieners isn't hereditary. I'll mark that. I knew I was going to mark that when I read it.
Oh, yeah, you got a couple other clever ones. Since it's directed at you, you might want to read that.
Is Jack's soul in jeopardy worthy kosher hot dogs? I think that is
Ethan was like, this one's pretty clever, but I'm not going to read it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a question for the Louisville Bats for worthy kosher hot dogs.
I have a sneaking suspicion they were not.
I'll put it this way. My favorite food is the cheeseburger, so I don't think the kosher gods.
Not everybody's kosher. With
me. Oh, goodness gracious. Where do we go from here?
I have no idea. I have a feeling that just in case you all at home, we're going to sprinkle in a lot of other stories. Obviously, we focused a lot on the realignment talk yesterday, and guess what? We're probably going to talk about it a lot today.
Revisited.
Because I got to tell you, man, the story is changing by the minute. We keep getting like, it's basically happened. It's happened pretty much. Like, Texas and Oklahoma, like the news is broken. They intend on telling the Big 12 schools that they're leaving next week, early next week, and the accepted, you know, common idea is that the SEC will extend an invitation within days.
Yeah. So once those two schools make it known that they are not going to renew the grant of rights, that sets the official 18 month clock, which they're probably not going to adhere to anyways. And all, you know, it could change, but as of right now, it looks that Monday is the day for them to notify the Big 12. Then the SEC can formally invite them. And then the only question then becomes when. And it looks like, based on the latest reporting, next season.
And Oklahoma and Texas have FU money. Texas especially has FU money. They're going to
pay
whatever early buyout they have to do. They will get out of their deal. They will get out of their commitment to the Big 12 and move on.
Yeah.
They will. And the best part about this is the fallout and all the speculation. We missed this. It's been years since we had a good conference realignment story. And so we hear the rumors of Kansas having a call set up with the Big Ten, which my thoughts are pretty known on that, but I'll get back into it since we have 3 hours to discuss this again today.
Let's do it.
The Pac-12, there's some rumblings from the Pac-12. Who knows what's rumor and what's not. Obviously, I feel like the rest of the Big 12 schools – are their first thought is going to be looking for a life raft instead of hanging around and seeing what the Big 12 looks like after, you know, life post Texas and Oklahoma without the anchor stores. You know, that what was the – who had the tweet last night where it was like the Big 12 looks like a shopping mall without their two anchor stores, you know. And then I tweeted they need to go find their Topgolf and their – maybe the seasonal Halloween store to fill the spots.
But. What was it? It wasn't Spencer's. What is it? Those pop-up Halloween stores? What are they called?
I don't know.
Each year.
But they, like, if there's Halloween Town, I feel like.
Yeah, like, something so like that. Yeah. I mean,
all different kinds of stuff.
And I think the question now
is jack-o'-lanterns.
Express.
It's Halloween Express is a lot of them, yeah.
Now the question becomes, what does the Big 12 do? And do the other conferences, i.e. the Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12, do they take on the role of being vultures and start picking at these remaining eight schools? Or do they really solidify each other and say, hey, listen, let's stick together and try to save this thing and bring in other schools? The latest, guys, was that on that call with the Big 12 representatives, merging with the Pac-12. A 20-team mega – and that's – again, that was just thrown out with
which has
the
been
meeting.
That had been thrown around with years ago.
And then with the ACC yesterday as well. I don't see that happening at all.
I don't think so either. I wonder how many schools actually have real value to other conferences and of the leftovers in the Big 12. I guess the tag-along eight is what they're being called right now. But I mean, you got – Kansas basketball, but I mean, but football not, drives the bus.
Nobody really cares about. That's what I tweeted out earlier. I was like, there's still people that are talking about this from an all sports angle,
but
from a basketball angle.
The football angle is all that matters.
It's
so I know,
all that matters.
I know Kansas reached out to the Big Ten earlier today, but is the Big Ten interested in adding the worst college football
Power Five program in the country? Like,
I don't know.
Even close.
Yeah,
everybody's entertaining it with these thoughts of, well, Kansas would be a great addition on the basketball side. Like, yeah, great, but football. Like, listen to what they're telling you. If their actions hasn't told you to this point, the conference commissioners have literally told you. Jim Phillips literally told you last month.
Football he said it this week.
First.
He said it on Wednesday.
Like, he said it repeatedly. Football eats first. Football drives the bus. And I still have people in my mentions talking about Kansas basketball. And I'm like, dude, like,
it's a non-issue.
It's all well and good, but Big Ten is not going to expand just to expand. Like, they can afford to absorb a crappy football team, but why? Why split the pie one more way? They're about to get a massive TV deal without Kansas. Kansas doesn't add more than 1/15th. Of what the new contract is going to be.
Plus, when
you add value.
Plus, when you throw out there the last three teams the Big Ten has added, Maryland, Rutgers, and Nebraska
haven't really worked out.
Have all been in, you know, differing degrees, terrible at football. They haven't helped. They've hurt the football product. They really have. And for me, I would think the ACC traditionally would be the one that would make sense because they were the conference that would look basketball first, then the Big East. But as you just said, Biscuit, Jim Phillips isn't going to be that way anymore. He's trying to change that mindset within the ACC. And I know you have to. And for someone who's a basketball guy like me, that kind of crushes me a little bit, but... But that's the way it goes, to where maybe the Big East ends up being a place.
Because at the end of the day,
for Kansas,
like, they looked left and right, and back then it was all about markets, you know, and it was, you know, right. Rutgers brings in the New York market in theory, even though nobody cares about Rutgers, you could sell it to the cable providers. Now it's more about streaming than anything, mm-hmm. So it's really about who actually watches these teams, not who theoretically might, you know what I mean. So Rutgers has been a dud. And not to mention, you added two geographical extremes to the Big Ten with Rutgers and Nebraska.
Nebraska, really, not as much. Nebraska's, you know,
Midwest. I'm talking about, like, just when you talk about who you added. You know what I mean? Like, Rutgers all the way to the east, and Nebraska is as far west as there is a Big Ten team.
Which we do have to thank the Big Ten always for adding Maryland, though.
Sure, Maryland.
I'm
forever grateful for them for doing that.
But the pecking order goes, SEC, obviously, they got the two crown jewels of this. I think if the Big Ten wants to get their set up at the table, they're going to eat second.
It would have to be something drastic, though.
Exactly. But then I think it's going to come down to the ACC and the Pac-12 fighting for the remnants of the Big 12. If whatever the Big 10 does, if they grab two schools, fine. I think the remaining six, it's going to be a battle between the Pac-12 and the ACC.
But who out there would the ACC really want? I mean, do you want Iowa State or Kansas State or Texas Tech?
I think
Oklahoma State?
I still think West Virginia is a shoe-in.
I guess West Virginia isn't nearly as, you know, marketable as it was in 2011 when they left for the Big 12.
Sure, it's not, but they still have some football cachet and tradition, and I think
I would take Cincinnati over West Virginia.
I don't know, man. Not nationally, not with national profile. I would be fine with Cincinnati, but they have to be really strategic with how they expand. I feel like West Virginia would bring more national football cachet, which is important when you're talking about future, you know, TV contracts. Unfortunately, those second through fifth football teams with tradition that were supposed to be the bellwethers of the ACC just haven't really panned out year to year. You know, Miami, Virginia Tech, Florida State have had their moments, but overall have been a disappointment. Since they joined the ACC. I mean, Florida State won a national championship, but you know what I mean. Since Jimbo Fisher left, it's been on the unsteady ground. Miami and Virginia Tech have never been the same since they left the Big East. Those teams that were supposed to carry the new ACC haven't done that. I mean, Pitt's been mostly bad. It's
Miami's had like one 10-win season.
Right.
And they lost in the Orange Bowl.
It's been Clemson and a bunch of dwarfs, really, like for most of the modern ACC the last 10 years. And it's just, they need another football program to possibly pop.
But West Virginia is not that football program.
Yeah, they have the potential to be.
I mean, Cincinnati is closer to that football program right now than West Virginia has been since the Rich Rod days.
Well, they'll look at it and they'll say, I mean, is Luke Fickell going to stick around? You know, and in my
there's a much better chance if they're
my,
in the ACC,
right. And my answer to that is, I feel like they've clearly had four successful coaches in the last 20 years.
Yeah,
they all got promotions, and two of them were successful. One of them was successful really long term, but I mean, they've had success for, you know, Brian Kelly, D'Antonio, and what's his name. Went to Tennessee. Butch Jones.
Yeah.
They've had four successful coaches. You just take the Tuberville era and put it aside. For
I'm of the mindset,
years.
Though, that the
I
ACC...
I love Cincinnati as an ACC member. Like, you're not... You don't have to...
Grab West Virginia. Grab Cincinnati. Try to get a TCU or Oklahoma State. The ACC will have to add multiple schools if they want their contract renegotiated.
TCU,
they have to.
TCU or Oklahoma State. The ACC.
I
know geography means
Jack,
nothing, but that's
Jack,
just,
I'm with you though. Like I
that's even worse than Rutgers in the Big Ten.
I react the same way when it comes up, because it's not so much about purity or anything. It's just that there are stressors when you get beyond football. With one game a week, you can travel. You can do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's travel's not as big an issue with the football team, but with the Olympic sports, with even basketball, with multiple games a week, travel becomes a real issue when you have a conference that spans from Texas to Boston College and then down to Miami. You know what I mean? Like, it gets really dicey. I don't love it. I realize that revenue is going to be king, but at some point, the university presidents are going to look at it. You know what I mean? There were some adverse fall. There was some adverse fallout from Rutgers, Nebraska, and Maryland joining the Big Ten, especially Rutgers and Nebraska. Like, they, you got your volleyball team traveling to, you know, Iowa State on a freaking Thursday.
Oh, yeah, it was
Thursday
a talking
night.
Point at IU. Every year that I was there.
And it should be. Like, to a degree, you at least have to factor that in to where if you add a team like Oklahoma State, you better make sure that it is 100% worth it. Because you're fundamentally changing your conference.
Yeah.
I would rather add, instead of an Oklahoma State, if we're playing by this theory, I would rather add a Kansas, or I'd rather add a Baylor.
I think Baylor's more towards the
Pac-12. I mean, I think Baylor, Texas Tech, Pac-12. That would make more sense. I mean, but there's the outliers.
I don't know.
If the Big 12 disappears, you're going to have Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Tech, and no man's land. They're going to have to land somewhere.
The same teams that we talked about when Texas was threatening ACC or Pac-12. You know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same teams we were talking about, because we were very familiar with it being in the Big East at the time, because was cast asunder at the last moment. There was a real possibility of the leftover schools in the Big 12 combining with the Big East into one super conference back then. You can call it a super conference.
But, I mean, like, I would argue that Cincinnati and maybe even a UCF would be more beneficial to the ACC than any of the Big 12 schools.
Why do you think...
Well, you
UCF
already have Florida State. You already have Florida State, Miami.
Beneficial in your mind?
They've been better in football,
but they bring nothing from the state of Florida. I feel like they have Florida State already. You have Miami already.
I mean, you could argue
the
Orlando.
What type of
market does West Virginia bring? You already have the Pittsburgh market with Pittsburgh. I just don't think West Virginia actually adds anything.
I told you I don't think it adds much of a market, but it's not just about market. It's about who will actually watch the games.
I don't think people are turning on to watch West Virginia games.
I think
they were when Rich Rodriguez was
West
there.
West Virginia games than Central Florida games, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think the Florida schools will fight you tooth and nail.
Oh, they would not be on board.
They would. But I
it's not going to happen.
The average viewer right now that is paying attention to how good of a football programs these schools have right now are way more likely to watch Central Florida or Cincinnati than they are West Virginia.
Who
hasn't been relevant in a decade.
I disagree. Cincinnati, you could argue, but I think UCF, I mean...
West Virginia tied for the Big 12 title like 5 years ago.
And UCF was last year? UCF wasn't very good last year. They were very mediocre.
Yeah.
Now, the last year
of Josh Heupel.
They beat they beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl a few years back.
Almost beat LSU the next
year. I think if there's any conference that you're talking about... UCF joining, it's going to be the Big 12 after Texas and OU leave. Then I think UCF becomes an option for the Big 12 if the remaining eight schools are on board with it.
Since West Virginia left the Big East for the Big 12, they have gone 7-6, 4-8, 7-6, 8-5, 10-3, 7-6, 8-4, 5-7, 6-4.
Yeah, 10-3 year was when I was
talking about they've had one good year since they left the Big East.
Roll with check UCF's numbers the last 5 years.
All right,
because I know they've had.
Yeah, it was 5 years ago though.
I think they have two really good years over the last five. But I know this past season, you know, they didn't have it. But you're right. I mean, Florida State and Miami are going to be like, nah.
UCF last 5 years, 6-7, 13-0, 12-1, 10-3, 6-4.
Same. I mean, they had the
three of the last
the
five.
Pop. Yeah. They had the pop, and then Heupel it's been a gradual decline under Heupel, and now they got Malzahn.
They also went 12-1 and won the Fiesta Bowl in 2013, which we all know.
Yeah, we know.
So same timeline as West Virginia, who has one 10-win season and one year over eight wins. UCF has went 10-4, 12-1, 9-4, 0-12, so they really bombed out. Then 6-7, 13-0, 12-1, 10-3, 6-4. So West Virginia has one season, eight wins, or two seasons, eight wins or more.
In the Big 12.
And UCF has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, I get it, different conferences, but one 10-win season or more versus five 10-win seasons.
I hate to tell you, man, the casual fan... The casual fan
doesn't care about West Virginia. The casual fan knows UCF because of the BS.
The casual
national
fan Michigan doesn't care about UCF. They would rather watch West Virginia, Virginia Tech than Virginia Tech, UCF every single day of the week.
Agree.
That's a fact.
I'm not saying it's fair.
I don't think a lot of people care about about UCF. I'm not trying to argue that. I'm just thinking you are overvaluing what West Virginia is today.
I don't think West Virginia is an elite football program. I just think that they're more noteworthy and they bring more eyes than UCF on
a
regular basis.
Let's do this, and this is not the end-all be-all. Check the followers for West Virginia social media, Twitter, compared to UCF.
UCF's 45,000 students.
It's the biggest public school.
Yeah, or 55,000. That's huge. It's huge.
Exactly. But I think now what we were saying earlier.
Right, West Virginia football, 237,900.
And then UCF, and again, that's not the end-all be-all, but it's still a snippet of who has the bigger following from a regional standpoint. I would argue West Virginia, even though
UCF 197.6.
Well, I'd just say that's the be-all, end-all, Ethan, and just move on.
Yes, just Twitter, that's it. We have a bunch of texts on this if we want to get to those. UBS Jobs text line 437-9680. Take me home, country roads. Texter says West Virginia is a state school. Cincinnati is an inner city school, just like Louisville. Cincinnati, though, much bigger market than West Virginia, which another texter does say better market than West Virginia. Texter.
Oh, West Virginia is a tiny market. If you want to look at market size, it's half. Yeah. It's got less than half the population of Kentucky. And Kentucky's not a big state.
Texter says, now go to the last 20 years, Jack. My argument to that is no one cares what happened 20 years ago. Just look at Indiana basketball. No one cares. Texter says,
except it's not completely true. If nobody cared what happened 20 years ago, Texas football wouldn't be as big a thing as it is right now.
Texas
that's
has
what we call
three
the exception to the rule.
Big 12 titles over the last 25 years. Texas, three Big 12 titles the last 25 years. Oklahoma's the one winning.
Yeah. Texter says, Indiana is a football school. That is the text of the day. Texter, Jack can get closer to Usain Bolt in the 100 than Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest.
I love that text.
That's a great text.
Yeah.
That's a
phenomenal
solid text.
That's a great text.
Texter says, rumors floating that the Big Ten has reached out to USC. That would be.
Look, we heard. I don't want to throw too. Like, yeah, there's rumors out there. There's a lot of rumors out there. It is rumor season officially. Yes. We are back. We are in conference realignment. We are in the middle of it, baby. I missed this, but I kind of didn't miss it because all of a sudden out of left field, they'll be like, poaching Clemson, and you know what I mean? Like, they'll be like, we'll just say Clemson and Virginia Tech or Florida State, and who cares? Then, now you're done. Now the ACC's done.
Texter says, West Virginia has a national profile? Come on now. Their profile is a terrible place to be as a visiting team and fan. Well, Dana Holgorsen and Rich Rod are not walking through that door.
That's true. I mean, they are the freaking worst place. They are LSU without the culture. Yep.
Have you ever been to Morgantown for a game?
Dude, no.
Don't ever go. The only time I was scared for my life was the 2005 game, triple overtime, Louisville Blue, 24-7.
Do you remember when West Virginia played LSU and that pregnant woman was dragged from the car and beaten?
Yeah.
Like, that is those two fan bases meeting. It was the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
They're like, let's schedule an out-of-conference game between the two worst fan bases on planet Earth. I'm sure nothing bad will happen. And then just, like, at a stoplight in West Virginia, Morgantown, a pregnant woman was dragged from a car. And
there was so many middle fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like little kids,
too. Children. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it was just like everything bad I heard about West Virginia for the traveling fan base. And I was like, I said, we're not Virginia Tech. We're not Marshall. This is not our arch rival. We're a conference brethren now. We're going to go up. Oh, it was horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
I will say this. As much as I have crapped on West Virginia, I would like to see him in the ACC from the standpoint of I loved those Louisville West Virginia games.
But it also, those were phenomenal. I mean, the Thursday night blackout is still probably the best environment Louisville ever had at a home football game. And then you got the backyard brawl, and you got West Virginia Virginia Tech. There's a lot of good games to be had from that.
Yeah, but if one thing conference realignment has showed us is they don't care about that.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong about that, man. You're not wrong. This, I think, what this says more than anything, Jack, Ethan, is that there isn't really a home run.
No.
That checks every box. The two home runs that check every box just joined the SEC, or they're about to. Yeah.
Or Notre Dame.
But they're not coming.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, for me, I think that traditionally, football-wise, everything, West Virginia checks the boxes for me, but I don't know if they check all the boxes for the conference commissioner. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they – I think that mainly owing to the money we bring in now, they would probably help our TV contract, but I'm not – the guy analyzing that at the conference level.
It wouldn't be.
It's not
going to
help
West
Big
Virginia.
Ten. It's not going to help the SEC, but it might help the ACC's profile enough to the contract. But yeah.
Dexter says, Jack, have Big Rig teach you the differences between wet and dry buns and why it's important. Dexter says, Jack, the casual channel flipper, stops on WVU over UCF 9 times out of 10. I think you're wrong. Dexter says, you are talented, Mr. Grossman. Thank you.
Then there was another texter saying that just fire us and then have Greer brag about himself until 6 o'clock. I mean,
yeah, I was trying to read that one.
cranky texter. All right, let's take a break when
it's
we come back.
A couple cranky texters.
We love it. Let's take a quick break when we come back. We'll revisit more of this ever-changing conference realignment. Again, we haven't checked a news feed over the last hour, so I'm sure something has changed. We'll get into that and more. You're listening to The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com. You're listening to The Take
with Ethan Moore.
Louisville Sports Live did message the NCAA today, so I am waiting with bated breath to see what their response is going to be in regards to... Yes. In regards to this.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
I even threw in there at the end, you all actually expected him to go to Duke for free?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Okay, we're back. I didn't know if they were doing an Olympic.
Yeah, your mics have been on. Yeah, no.
Oh, well, I was in a train.
Jack, did you just think we were just... What did you think was going on there?
I gave you all the thumbs up like three times. You were
I thought that you were approving his dance. Anyways, mean, we were feeling the music. I didn't know if we were going to...
We do have an Olympic update coming up in about 12 and a half minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680. Texter says, take me home, country roads.
Didn't you already read that one?
I don't know.
Nah, whatever.
I don't want West Virginia at all. Screw them. They deserve nothing good. After my experience in 2005, I would agree with you. West Virginia has a better football product than U of L at present, and their basketball's...
It's the friction that causes the heat, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
But would you agree with that? West Virginia has a better football product as of right now?
Well, I mean, sure. They're both pretty mediocre right now.
Yeah, I think they're kind of just equally black.
Yeah, I think that there were a lot of How do I put this? There was a lot of comparisons made because we hired Satterfield and they hired, what's his name?
Neil Brown.
Thank you, Neil Brown. And there was a lot of like, I'm going to see what happens here with these two. I was just going to let that go. I know every word of that song, unfortunately.
They do play it. That break after back karaoke. Each win.
They play that after each win.
I know they do.
I kind of liked the song then when I heard it. And then where we parked in 05 after Louisville blew a 17-point lead. We parked right next to Fraternity Row. And you could imagine.
Look, I know how fraternity, like the fraternity tailgates are at Kentucky because my buddy's an idiot and walked us through there on the U of L UK game. I'm sure West Virginia is just a
million times worse. All the times I've been.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, the Neil Brown Scott Satterfield comparison when they were both hired at their respective schools. And it's been kind of.
It's
just, to be determined.
Yeah, it is. So, but still.
All right, Jack, we can probably get rid of that.
Yes, okay.
That's enough.
I had
like John Denver, but that's enough.
I know. I had started having flashbacks of Morgan. Oh, and then on the way out of Morgantown, there were so many fires set on couches that we were stuck at a stoplight kitchen out for 45 minutes because of so many fire truck runs. I mean, it was just, get me out of here now. After the verbal lashing that we took. Again, I've been to Lexington several times for basketball and football games between Louisville and Kentucky. Never once have I legitimately feared bodily harm for me or my wife.
I don't look. I got pretty thick skin. It doesn't really bother me. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, the worst experience I had in Lexington was after the Stevie got loose.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I was with my dad and we got berated the entire way back to the car. Some people. A couple women threatened to fight us, and we weren't saying anything. We were just walking. I was just like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I got my dad with me. Can we just can we calm it down a little bit?
I mean, it's your Super Bowl, but let's pump the brakes a little bit.
It's like, you know, I whatever. For the most part, I have thick skin. I do remember one Cincinnati fan when I was like 13 years old. It was my first 13 or 14. It was my first away game at, was it Shoemaker? Yeah, it was the basketball game in Cincinnati. And this just hammered dude who was like in his 30s kept turning around and going, you like that blank, you know, like right at me. And I was just like, he's like, tossed your, you know, and it was just like, I was like, all right, man. Like,
I know I don't like it. I'm a Louisville fan.
My dad leaned over eventually and was like, hey, guy, why don't you pull it back a little bit? He's 13. Like, I know he looks big. But
what did he say to that?
I think he didn't bother us the rest of the game. But it was like, dude, and one drunk Cincinnati. I've had more run-ons with Cincinnati fans than anybody.
Yeah,
drunk Cincinnati fans after Louisville won at Freedom Hall. It was a woman again, cussed me out.
Like, no, wait. After really, Cincinnati lost,
yeah, pretty sure. Yeah, it might have been a Cincy win. I think it was a loss, and like. You could tell her husband was sitting there like, ah, you're going to get me in a fight. You know, like he was not very big. And he's just like, ah, come on, honey, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, let's get out of here. My wife always is quick to, back in the day, I've calmed down quite a bit. But when we were younger, she would always be like prepping me. Now, don't be running your mouth, blah, blah, blah. And she would be the one that would pop off and I'd have to reel her back in. Love you, honey. Our 16-year anniversary is today. I'm sure she's not listening, but I'll say that anyway.
Happy anniversary, buddy.
Yay. Ah, 16 nice. Years.
Yeah, doing anything fun for it?
Yeah, we're going out to Steak and Bourbon tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
So,
who's watching the kids?
My mom.
Very
so,
nice.
There
That's
we go.
Nice of her.
And I will tell you this.
Are you going to have a steak and a bourbon?
Yes.
Attaboy.
Yeah, I already know. I'm going with a ribeye. Medium rare. Yes.
You know what you're doing.
We had, for our wedding reception, we had the Cardinal Bird there. Shout out to Jay Wade, who was in my fraternity. He was the Cardinal Bird at the time.
Jason Wade?
Yep.
I think he ran the orientation for me.
Probably
like when I went to freshman orientation, I think he ran it. Yeah.
We came out to starting lineup.
Nice.
So, again, I'm biased, but I think that our wedding reception to this day is still top three I've ever been to. It was
nice,
fun.
Man. That sounds like a hell of a time.
It was fun.
I love a great wedding reception.
I would want you to feel like your wedding is what a the best one you've ever been
to. I would hate to talk to somebody who's like, dude, I hated my wedding. I have been to 18 weddings
that were better than mine.
It wasn't even a cash bar. It was like a double cash bar. Literally nothing for free. We had them paying for their meals. It was the worst wedding ever.
Oh, man. Yeah, I tell you.
I will say, dude, and this is a complete aside, the amount, like sober, I'm going to sit there and maybe nod my head to country roads, you know. And I do love John Denver. I will admit that fully, but because of its affiliation with West Virginia, the more bourbon I drink, the more I really fall in love with that song.
Texter says the best part about that song is that it isn't even technically about West Virginia.
It's about the western part of Virginia, yeah.
Of course you know that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is like every geographical feature he mentions is really in the western part of Virginia.
Yeah.
It really is. And then there's that great TikTok from last year of the guy who's just sitting there thinking, and you know, and he's in the bottom, the caption is sober thoughts turn into... till, you know, drunk statements or drunk words, and he's in there, like a light goes off, and he's like, here's the thing. This song is even about West Virginia.
That's awesome.
About the western part of Virginia.
Texter also says Ohio State fans are worse than LSU and WVU fans.
Oh, they're awful. I gotta tell you, as far as a prominent like national fan base,
they're more snobby though.
Right?
Than, yeah,
invades every conversation on Twitter. They
Bama's
go everywhere.
Not snobby. Also, like
yeah,
that.
And Ohio State's the worst. The is the most. Pretentious word in the English language is the, as in the Ohio State University. Just barf. Garbage.
Texter says, I don't know why everyone is getting excited about Texas. UK football is going to run the SEC soon anyways.
Oh, we forgot to mention it. Yeah.
Get it in. Attaboy. Here's the real question. If they don't go to pods, but they'll probably go to pods, something like that. If they just went east-west, like Alabama and Auburn would just go to the east. They would take them together and put them where they belong in the East, and Kentucky would go to like fifth or sixth in the pecking order.
They were picked third in the East.
I know, which is probably about right. I mean, it's Georgia, Florida. The East isn't very good right now.
And Kentucky's historically better than they've ever been.
Yes. I mean, it's not a stretch. Yeah. It's just the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the truth. Like, yeah, we don't have to like it. It's the truth. Kentucky's been better historically than they've ever been for this stretch. They recruit better than they've ever recruited before, which still keeps them like at 11th in the SEC. But still, they're doing something with the recruits. Tennessee lost 25 players off their team last year. I mean, it was insane. When you look at the transfer portal, I remember when they first compiled the list.
Yeah.
Like in the top 50 transfers, like 15 of them were from Tennessee. It's like, how are they going to field a competitive football team next year? And the answer was, they are not going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be bad.
I thought Missouri might sneak
South
up there
Carolina's
at three.
Disappointing. Yeah. Yeah. Missouri's inconsistent, you know.
And we'll have to touch on this at one point, the last game of the year with Louisville football. There's going to be some pressure to win that game at home for the Cards.
There will be, absolutely. And there should be. I don't want to hear anything about,
Let's talk about that.
We're going to do it on the
other
side.
Let's talk about that. Let's take a break. Hour number one already in the books. Keep it locked. Hour number two straight ahead. Louisville versus Kentucky, the last game of the season. How much pressure is on Louisville and Coach Satterfield to get that win? Let's talk about that when we come back. I'm Ethan. He's Dave. Jack behind the glass. You're listening to The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.